Hey, welcome back to Politico Tech. Today's Monday, July 15th. I'm Stephen Overly. The Republican National Convention is getting underway in Milwaukee, and the tone of the gathering will surely shift after the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump over the weekend. But over the next few days, we'll also hear about all of the ways that the GOP plans to dismantle President Joe Biden's legacy. On the tech front, that includes reversing his AI executive order and potentially walking back incentives in the Inflation Reduction Act for electric vehicles, solar panels, and other clean energy technologies. But there's some irony here, because red states have been among some of the biggest beneficiaries of Biden's programs. Oklahoma is among those getting a lift, and Governor Kevin Stitt tells me he successfully leveraged those programs to bring more manufacturing and clean energy to the Sooner State. Now, Governor Stitt was a businessman before entering the State House back in 2019, so he knows how to make a sale, and you'll hear his pitch for Oklahoma in our interview. But I wanted to know whether he's worried that his own party could make that pitch harder. I spoke with Governor Stitt last week, before the shooting at Trump's rally this weekend. We talk about the future of clean energy incentives, as well as his efforts to replace state employees with artificial intelligence. Here's our conversation. Governor Stitt, welcome to the Politico Tech Podcast.
Well, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be on with you.
Appreciate you being here. Are you headed to the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee?
I am, yeah. I'm heading up there, and I'll be there all week, and obviously be there supporting President Trump when he receives the nomination on Thursday.
Any expectations for that, or anything you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing who the VP pick is, and a lot of speculation, and obviously, I know the governors he's looking at better than some of the U.S. senators, so it'll be interesting from a governor perspective to see if he's picks one of our colleagues.
Have you gotten any phone calls yourself?
No, I have not.
worth asking. You never know. Listen, a lot of people think of Oklahoma as an oil state, but it seems to me there's a lot of investment happening these days in things like clean tech and tech manufacturing.
Absolutely, yeah. And you're right. Most people just automatically kind of pigeonhole us into just oil and gas. And listen, we're super proud of our oil and gas industry. And I think you need to talk about what is a reliable, affordable grid look like? And you've got to talk about natural gas. But Oklahoma's grid's unique in the fact that over 40% of our electricity is generated from wind. We're actually number three in the entire country in wind generation.
Right.
And one of only four states that over 45% of our energy comes from renewables. And at the same time, we're like number six in oil production, number five in natural gas production. And we feel like we just have an honest conversation about the need for an all of the above approach. I just signed a bill on, looking at those modular nuclear reactors for more generation. And I think as Americans, we need to meet the needs of Americans with clean, affordable energy from all sources.
Is that a tough message to sell yourself as a Republican? Because there are some Republicans who are pretty critical of renewable energy, clean energy, and sort of the whole conversation around that.
I've got a way of talking about it, and I really don't get criticized. The oil and gas industry, when I first got elected, they were like, oh my gosh, don't talk about wind. But, not really anymore. I mean, I talk at national oil and gas conferences all the time. Oklahoma is like number two in solar potential. We have more sunny days than California, Texas. I mean, it's amazing what's happening. I just landed a company called Norson. It was the largest announcement at Select USA in DC. And it's a Norwegian company. It's their first investment in the US. And they're going to be building solar wafers that go into the solar panels, $620 million investment. And so I just have a way of talking about it, just saying, hey guys, but when you plug in your cell phone, it's so important to understand, or your electric car, where that generation comes from. And it can't be 100% renewables, because those are intermittent. Mm. You have to have a base load of natural gas. And so Oklahoma, we're getting more permits done so we can get more generation online. And I think that's going to be a differentiator in Oklahoma as manufacturing looks to come back and we try to pull the supply chain closer to home, you know, historically it's been overseas or maybe at some of our adversaries, we need to have a conversation about bringing that closer to home.
And is that coming back home? I mean, you mentioned the solar panels. I certainly read about those. I've read about batteries there in Oklahoma, critical minerals. I mean, how is manufacturing coming back, and how big of a driver is that of the investments you're seeing in your state?
You know, I do think it's coming back. And I wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. It's been 3 or 4 months now, or 5 months ago, about the need for a critical mineral stockpile. You know, when you think about the supply chain, and I think about 60% of the global production of critical minerals is in China. And then 85% of the processing, 75% of the manufacturing. I think people are waking up. And so Oklahoma is becoming a leader in that critical mineral supply chain and the processing of those. So we just landed a company called USA Rare Earth, and it's a company that does the mineral, the magnet manufacturing. And it's the first ever in the Western Hemisphere. We just landed Green Li-ion, which is a new technology that takes the batteries and they grind them up and they turn that back into the cathodoid, which basically creates all those critical minerals again. So the cobalt and all that things, they get back out of recycling the batteries. So Oklahoma's leaning into that. And it really started with Google. Most people don't know this, but Google has their largest data center in the world located in Oklahoma.
I did not know that. Okay.
And really, it's because of our clean power. They love buying our wind power. So if you're a manufacturer, you're a CEO looking for a place to locate your manufacturing facility, what better place to be located than the place that has the best workforce and the reliable, affordable grid?
Do you have AI companies knocking on your doors these days? Because, I mean, they're going to demand a whole lot of energy. They're going to have massive data centers. And that's one of the points I've heard made, that they need to set up shop in places where there's renewable energy that is affordable.
100%. Yeah, we've got tons of those. We've been giving tours all over Oklahoma. And your point's very well taken. It's so true that AI is a game changer. We all know that. But the energy usage and how those data centers work and how much power they're going to consume are more and more critical. And then if we can become the leader in AI and those data centers, then we think we can get the technology piece right after that. Oklahoma just landed a tech hub designation from the feds last year, and we just got a $51 million federal investment in Tulsa's tech hub.
Right. You know, I was wondering, with the investments in clean tech manufacturing that we've been talking about, how much of that investment boom you're seeing, if any, do you attribute to things like the Inflation Reduction Act and some of these federal programs that have tried to incentivize that kind of technology?
Well, certainly, you know, the Norwegian company, we also just landed a company that's building solar panels, Enel. Enel out of Italy is a $1 billion investment, and we announced that. And so, yeah, those companies that are looking to reshore some manufacturing and that supply chain, I do think that they are applying for that, the Inflation Reduction Act and those federal resources. So I do think that that's causing people to relocate from Europe and different parts of the world and try to get a piece of that in the U.S. I do think that is helping. And then if it's available, of course, we want them located in Oklahoma.
It's interesting hearing you talk about this, you know, with renewable energy and the clean tech incentives, because there are Republicans who are not fans of some of those programs, including here in Washington. There's talk about repealing things like the Inflation Reduction Act and some of its programs if, you know, we see a change in administration, we see Republicans take full control of the Congress. How would that affect your state?
You know, I mean, here's the deal. I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that, what would happen in the next administration. And I let D.C. kind of handle that stuff. If it's available, and that's the way I was in business, whatever the rules are, be clear with the rules. Don't give this person, this company, an advantage over me. Businesses just want to be clear with the rules and then let us go compete. So if it's available for California or Texas or Florida, then I'm going to go try to win and get it for Oklahoma. So that's what I would say about that. And then I think as a general rule, a promise is a promise. And so I don't see the Republicans, even if they get back in charge, they may grandfather everybody in and change kind of going forward. And that may be something we talk about, because I'm also talking about the national debt and our spending is out of control. Congress is not even passing. Think about this for a second. American people need to understand this, that Congress is not even passing a budget. I think when our founders put this thing together, called the United States of America, and wrote our Constitution, they had no idea that Congress would get to a point where they weren't even doing what they're supposed to do by deciding how the money's spent. And it's called continuing resolution. It's been happening for 30 years. And that's just weird. It's not normal. And I think Americans would be like, what? I don't know. But when you stop and really think about the dysfunction in Washington, D.C., it's weird. State governors have a different perspective. We're literally just trying to make sure our education's the best, our roads and bridges, our economy's good, our healthcare's good. And we have a different perspective than the guys in Washington, D.C. And that's why we can relate to, I serve my citizens, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter where you live in rural or urban Oklahoma. We all want the same things. And I'm going to make sure our kids have the very best education possible and the best roads and bridges. The rest of the politics, we just let Washington, D.C. kind of fight each other about.
Should a Republican administration keep incentivizing kind of clean tech, keep incentivizing manufacturing, some of the, you know, the investments that states like yours have seen?
You know, the Congress has a tough job. Here's what I would say. We have $4.9 trillion in income. We've got to spend $4.9 trillion, not $6.9. So if you can incentivize and do everything you can within our budget, absolutely. But that's where the Congress has got to balance. There's a lot of needs out there, and you cannot keep spending. So in other words, we're paying interest only on our national debt, interest only. That means we're never paying it off. And now the interest-only portion, did you know it's more than our national defense? It's almost $1 trillion now, interest-only. This is unsustainable because next year it's going to be worse because the deficit spending is $2 trillion. And so I would tell them, hey, all these are great incentives and these are great programs, but you got to spend what your income is. And our income is $4.9 trillion.
Let me pick your brain on artificial intelligence. We talked a little bit about it, but I know that's something that your administration and your state has been thinking a lot about. We were actually talking recently on the podcast about the AI Bill of Rights that was being debated in the Oklahoma legislature this year. Basically would give people, you know, some more transparency around artificial intelligence, some protections from discrimination. Were you supportive of that proposal?
You know, I'd need to go more specifics on what those issues are. But as a general rule, yeah, I want to protect Oklahomans' data, right? We want to make sure that it's protected, that if somebody's going to sell your data, that they've got to disclose that to you. And then, you know, like I just signed a bunch of bills protecting people from revenge porn and with AI. And there's some things happening with our schools that really is scary on what's happening. And so we need to make sure that it is a new day. We need to have people thinking about what AI can do. But one thing I did say on the just efficiency as the businessman governor, I did an executive order telling every state agency to assign an AI expert. And how can we roll out AI to make government more efficient? Instead of having to hire a full-time employee, can I institute AI in my data centers, for example, to answer the phones, to do some of these remedial tasks, and then redeploy some of our capital, some of our human capital to other jobs? So we're working on all that, but I do want to protect Oklahomans from the AI abuse. What that is, I'll let the legislature kind of work through what those abuses would be.
Yeah, I was reading about the report that your administration came out with earlier this year, some of those recommendations around efficiency. You know, there are a lot of folks worried about AI kind of replacing human workers. It sounds like in Oklahoma, that's perhaps a goal. Tell me a little bit about that and how is that going?
Yeah, 100%. I make no qualms about it. Everybody knows that I want smaller government, limited government. I'm trying to reduce taxes. My goal that I will hit is within 8 years. I don't think any other governor in the country can say this, but when I leave office in 8 years, we'll have fewer state employees than when I took over. And that's absolutely a goal of mine. But, you know, with unemployment in Oklahoma being, you know, in the threes, it's going to be hard to attract talent. I want them in the private sector. Government's not efficient. So the smaller I can have, the limited amount of jobs that government's doing, and I can let the private sector handle that, I think the better off we're going to be. And so that is an absolute goal of mine, is how we can institute AI. And I think you start with data centers. I think that's a pretty easy way to do it. I think you give people better customer service. You answer the questions easier. You can do it in multiple languages. It's amazing what can happen with AI.
Do you worry about that happening in the private sector, though? You know, companies deploying AI instead of hiring people?
Listen, I mean, I come from the private sector, and my company, I grew it from $1,000 in a computer to over 1,000 employees. And, you're always trying to get good human talent, but you're always trying to be more efficient. So, there's going to be jobs for humans 100%. But to use AI and to supplement and make their jobs easier or make them more efficient, make them be able to do more production, it's all good. Technology is good. Technology is fine. But at the same time, you tell your young people, man, if the more you can learn about technology and AI, you're going to have a job forever, right? So how can we invest in our career techs and help teach people that maybe if they think that the jobs have passed them by, let's go get them retrained. Right? Let's get them retrained. Let's get them some new skills. But a working person has nothing to worry about. Trust me. If you show up on time, I tell my kids, be there 10 minutes early, stay 10 minutes late, go ask your boss what else I can do to help, and you will have no trouble getting a job.
Governor, it sounds like you'd like to leave Washington to Washington, but I wonder if you pay attention to the AI strategy nationally. The Republican Party's platform recently called for repealing some of what President Biden has done on AI, particularly his executive order. I wonder what you make of that and sort of the national strategy to be competitive on artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I really couldn't speak to that. I'm not up on what Biden did and what the Republicans are saying he should or shouldn't have done. But again, there's too much fighting back and forth. We need to lead. When you think big picture, how do we utilize AI to be the strongest, most prosperous country, to make sure our citizens are the strongest, most prosperous? We've got the greatest quality of life, greatest health outcomes, and stop fighting about the small things and who gets credit for it and who doesn't. But specifics on what Biden's done and what the Republicans are saying he shouldn't have done, I don't know. I haven't looked at that as much. I've got my hands full of making Oklahoma number one.
Well, Governor Stitt, thanks for being here on Politico Tech.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you so much.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. I'm Stephen Overly. See you back here tomorrow.